1 year ago Friday, Dylan Roof shot and killed 9 black parishioners at a Bible study at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. Affectionately known as Mother Emmanuel, the church has been a source of African-American pride and resilience since its founding nearly 200 years ago. It was the southernmost church and the first black religious denomination in the U.S. To find out more about the church's importance in African-American history, we spoke with College of Charleston history professor Bernard Powers. He studies the African Methodist Episcopal Church and is co-author of the book We Are Charleston, Tragedy and Triumph at Mother Emmanuel. Dr. Powers, thanks for your time.
Glad to be here, Duncan. Thanks for the invitation.
The AME Church was started by a man who bought his freedom very early on and believed firmly that African Americans should be able to control how and where they worship and have a place for themselves.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And it is out of that spirit and out of that necessity that we get the original church, the original congregation in the denomination, which is known as Bethel AME Church in Philadelphia. And what happens in Charleston was something unique and extremely important. There was a group of African Americans, slave and free, that came together and decided that they also would reject white religious leadership, and they would establish a connection to the AME Church in Philadelphia. In 1817 or 1818, what comes to be known as the African Church, and it was the southernmost branch of the AME Church. Now, to fully appreciate this, you have to understand that the AME Church was an abolitionist church. One could not be a slaveholder and be a member of this denomination. So by creating the African Church, a branch of the AME Church in Charleston, one was essentially engaging in a revolutionary act. The church was harassed by municipal authorities. There were arrests. And eventually the church was destroyed by city authority after it was determined that a number of its members had organized a slave conspiracy designed to undermine this and overthrow the system of slavery in the Charleston area.
I know we don't know what was in Dylan Roof's mind that day, aside from hatred. Do you think he was aware of this in why he chose to go to Emmanuel Church? In the book, you talk about all of the different places that were significant in African-American history that he drove past from his home outside of Columbia to get to Charleston where this church was. So how much of this do you think he was aware of?
We are thinking that that it's likely that he had some indication of the significance of this church and this congregation, its history, and certainly recognized that it was one of the most important African-American churches in the state, because Charleston attracted him, and he knew the significance of Charleston as a historic location. And so we really do believe that this congregation was targeted by Dylan Roof because of what he knew about the church, or what he thought he knew about the congregation and the role that it had played in the history of black South Carolinians.
What changes have you noticed in your interactions with members of the community?
Well, my own personal interactions haven't really changed. I would say this, that in the aftermath of what happened, I've received a lot of calls and inquiries to come in to give lectures and to give talks, lead discussions, and so on different aspects of African American history, the African American experience. And all of these things have been basically designed to kind of enlighten people and to get them talking about issues of race, race-related issues. You know, just to give you one example, I was over on Daniel Island and the audience was largely white, but they were interested in learning more about this subject. And so I think that given what happened at Emmanuel, this was kind of a catalyst, and it kind of spurred people's interest in learning more about the African-American experience. And the good thing about that is that as we understand more about one another's histories, we can come together, I think, on a more common accord. And, you know, this is something that the Reverend Clemente Pinckney said. He was famously known as having said that in the South, we have a great appreciation for history, but we don't often enough appreciate one another's history. And as we do a better job in doing so, we'll be able to appreciate one another's humanity and the common things that we share.
Well, I did want to ask you about Orlando because that tragedy has happened inside of a week before the anniversary of the Charleston massacre. And you can't help but draw similarities. And I just wonder what you're feeling now that you're seeing that unfold here within a week of the Charleston anniversary.
Sure, sure. Well, they are organically linked together. Hatred is something that links them together. The role that the church has played in the African American community and this Pulse nightclub, the role that it played for the gay community, they're very similar. Safe spaces, places where people could come together of goodwill on a common accord, and so on and so forth. And the other thing that links these two tragedies together is the fact that those who hate demonize the objects of their hatred, and they somehow discount the humanity that we all share. And once they do that, once you refuse to recognize the humanity in other people, and we've seen it in both places, then it becomes possible for you to unleash a murderous rampage against them.
Thank you so much for your time.
And thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it.